Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. We're in the middle of a series that is looking at the life of Daniel, helping us to navigate the jungle that we live in. You see, Daniel found himself in a foreign land called Babylonia, and he was in exile there, and he was in a godless culture, and he had to figure out how to live. Was he going to go along to get along, or was he going to remain a man of God, a man that followed the Lord, a man of conviction? And so we're learning a lot as we've already made our dive into the jungle, into the life of Daniel. I was wondering if any of you had a chance this past week to say, "I'd rather not." Did any of you, were there things in life that the world was throwing at you that you just said, "You know what, no, not anymore, I'd rather not." Amen, there's some hands going up. So I want to practice once again so everybody remembers how to say these three words. Let's do it together now. I'd rather not. When the world says, "Hey, go along with me," we can say, "I'd rather not." When the world says, "Hey, you need to think the way we think," we can say, "I'd rather not." Amen. Y'all are good at that. And did any of you draw any lines this week? You know, the kind of lines that you've resolved not to cross. Maybe there it's been gray and you've been moving into some areas over the years that the Lord finally has convicted you and you've said, "I'm going to resolve right now to draw a line." Anybody draw any lines this week? Any lines drawn this week? Praise God, you'll never be sorry. We need to resolve to not cross some certain lines, and to not back down, and to not go to certain places in our lives. That's what Daniel did. We can learn from his life. It's a good way to live. I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I just thank you that you're helping us, that you're guiding us, that you're leading us, that you're empowering us, that your grace is giving us all we need to live in the jungle, to live in a world that's broken, that's hurting, and to be the light in the darkness. So, Lord, we once again submit ourselves to your word, to what you have for us, as we are your people and you are our God. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Well, we know a lot about eating in our culture. Eating, you know, food. We know a lot about that. We focus a lot on that. I mean, just look around, and when you go to a mall, what's at the center of a mall? A food court. Almost every single corner, it seems like, in America now, there are restaurants, places to eat. Food usually plays a pivotal role when we go to the movies. I mean, when I go to the movies, I like to, if I'm allowed to, and I just go crazy, I like to get a big old bag of popcorn, really salty movie theater popcorn, and get the largest box of M&Ms that they sell. It's usually best to buy those like at Walgreens ahead of time because they're only a buck at Walgreens. You know what I mean? Put them in your coat, bring them in. But not that I would ever do anything like that. But you take the M&Ms and you pour the M&Ms, the sweet, sugary M&Ms, into the salty popcorn, and it's like a dream the movie comes on, right? Food and a movie. Now, if you're a sports fan, we all know as sports fans that sports always are better with food, whether it's wings, nachos, look out, the nachos, right? Pizza, chips, dip, whatever it might be, sporting events are always better when food is part of it. I love food. Single, taken, hungry. Yep. I'm taken and I'm hungry. Keep calm, it's Taco Tuesday. How many of you love Taco Tuesday? I'm a Taco Tuesday kind of guy, right? There's a Mexican restaurant right across the street from the church, and they know me on Tuesdays. I know them by name. They know me by name. We get along really well, you know. And then buy me food, make me food, be food. That's how you get to my heart, right? Anyway, we love food. We love food. Food has become a national pastime. There's a new term out there called foodies. How many of you heard of that? How many of you are foodies? People that's kind of like your pastime to go find new food experiences and all that. And there's no condemnation, believe me. No, none of this, okay? We can raise our hands to all of this. It's all good. And I just pray even now, I've been praying all week that nobody would feel any condemnation as we talk about food this week, okay? We don't need to feel condemnation about it. We just need to just look at it through God's lens. That's all. That's all we're going to do, okay? Foodies. There are a lot of foodies. People are fixated on food. There's hundreds of TV shows. There's even a network all about food, about cooking and eating, right? The Food Network. How many of you ever watch any food shows and cooking shows? Yell out some of the shows that you watch. What are some of the shows you like? Best Singer Ever. Come on, come on, yell them out louder. Samurai Chef. How about Man versus Food? Man versus Food. You know, that would be a great title for a sermon. Man versus Food. And that just happens to be the title of the sermon today. Man versus Food. After all, it's a battle. It is. I don't. Maybe not for you, but for me, it's a battle. Food and man. You know, we're battling one another. We don't know who's winning any given day. You just don't know. Who's serving who? Do we eat to live or live to eat? And does any of this stuff really matter? Well, I've never preached on this topic before. I'm just going to go ahead and admit it right now. I've never preached on eating and on food. And I think one of the reasons I probably never preached on it, it can be a sensitive topic, a sensitive subject. But it's also an area that maybe I just haven't quite mastered yet personally. And sometimes we think, well, if I don't have a grasp on something, who am I to talk about that? But, you know, if that's the way it was, there would be no preacher really almost preaching about anything these days. But food can be a struggle. I have trouble saying no to unhealthy food. Y'all have heard me talk about ice cream and brownies, and you just can't beat that. You know what I'm saying? I like food. It's an area I wrestle with, and I'm sure I'm not alone. Is there anybody in there with me, in this battle with me? Man versus food. Anybody? Okay, praise. Thank you all. That's very gracious of you, making me not stand up here alone, you know, feeling like that. Let's get back to Daniel, though. Why am I talking about food? Back in chapter 1, we're going to look at the same verses we looked at last week because I didn't even have this in the series to talk about food, but on Monday morning as I was praying into what God wanted to say this weekend, he directed me this way. I tried to push back. He won because he always wins when we wrestle with him. I used to be pretty good at arm wrestling, by the way. In college, I got like second place, runner-up in the all-university arm wrestling tournament 1 year. And it was, yeah, I'm saying, it. You, I know you can't tell it anymore. I know there's not much evidence of it anymore, but it used to be there. But I was wrestling with God, and he said, no, you're going to talk about food. You're going to go back over these same passages, and you're going to look at it a little differently. And so in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Daniel, it says this, that Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, we've been talking about the bigger lesson of Daniel, right? The lesson that we need to be separated from the world and we need to be consecrated to God. We need to be living for God. We're in a broken world and the world needs us to not live like broken people, but to live like the free people that we are in Christ Jesus. To live as those who are victorious. So we look at the bigger picture and the bigger message that we hear from Daniel. But even in all of that, Daniel does still introduce us to a real fact. And that is what we eat matters. I'm going there. I really am. What we eat matters. Our diet matters. Our diet can either give us strength or it can cause us to be weak. What we eat. Our diet can empower us or it can poison us. Our diet can fuel us or it can kill us. What we eat matters. It matters. Daniel knew Scripture. He was a young man who was smart. He was on top of things. He was a man of God. He studied God's Word. So he knew Genesis 9, verse 3. Genesis 9, verse 3, the Lord says that everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. I love that verse. Praise God. So Daniel knew that verse. He knew this truth. But I believe Daniel also understood a precept that we didn't see written down until the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. See, Daniel also being connected with the Lord and listening to the voice of God, being sensitive, being consecrated unto the Lord, having ears to hear what God said, I believe Daniel also knew this truth that's found in 1 Corinthians 10:23, that everything is permissible, right? Genesis 9:3. However, not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. In other words, we can eat whatever we want to eat. However, that doesn't mean that we should eat everything. Let me say that again. We can eat whatever we want to eat, but that doesn't mean that we should eat everything. Not everything is beneficial. And yes, I'm still talking about food in church. I thought about this. I'm not trying to ruin everybody's lunch plans, by the way. And I just want to be straight up and honest with you right now. I'm going out for Mexican food after this service. And I'm going to enjoy it. And it's going to be awesome. And I hope you all, and I know you all are going to enjoy your lunch too. So don't change your lunch plans over this. But there's some stuff God wants to share with us. I want to share a personal story. I grew up in a family that loved to snack. And again, that's okay. That's good. Snacking is not bad. It's good. I got some heads bobbing over here. John's like, yeah, I love snacking too, right? Snacking. My family loved to snack. Again, ice cream was a big one. Oh, man, was it good. We didn't buy these half-gallon little skimpy little things. Man, we had the full-gallon jugs always, multiple ones in the freezer. It was how it was going on. In the Jones house, we loved our cookies. We loved our brownies. We loved our chips. I mean, I would come home after school, and I would make, you know, cheese crisps and all kinds. We loved to snack. It was just, it was how we were. But we balanced it all out. We balanced it all out, so everything was good. We balanced it out with a thing called diet soda. That's how we balanced it out. So you can snack as long as you balance it out, right? Live a balanced life. And so we had the junk food, and then we had the diet soda, and everything was good. That's what they told us. Remember back in the day, show these couple pictures. Remember Tab? Remember Tab here? Remember that? That was like one of the first diet sodas. And then you had Diet Right. They even called it Diet Right. It's right. It's good. As long as you have the diet right, then everything else is balanced out and it's okay. That's what we were told. That's what we were told. But what the world tells us is not always accurate. Sorry to burst some bubbles. What the world sells us is not always good for us, and everything is not beneficial. So check this out. I worked with somebody who actually got blood poisoning from aspartame. You know what that is, aspartame? That's that fake chemical-based sweetener that you find in so many diet sodas. And so you go, well, I have one that has a different, it doesn't have aspartame, it has, you know, whatever other chemical name in there, so it's not as bad. Baloney. Come on, don't be playing that game, right? This aspartame, this guy was drinking diet soda every single day, and aspartame actually turns into and has the same base chemical makeup as wood alcohol. I'm not a chemist, so you can check that out, and maybe I'm wrong, but I remember him saying this. And it turned into wood alcohol in his system over time, and his body started to react to that, as you can imagine, and it actually poisoned him. It poisoned his blood, it poisoned his nervous system, it poisoned his brain. It messed with his reasoning and his emotions, like in a deadly, scary, find yourself in jail kind of way, like make you go crazy. And I know it's a kind of find yourself in jail kind of way because I'm the guy who bailed him out of jail. Seriously. Y'all get some ideas now. Call the pastor. You're in jail. Call the pastor, right? He'll bail you out. He's good with that. I know how to get there and I know what to do anyway, but that's enough. I've never been in jail, Zach, okay? I've only bailed others out. So my coworker, my friend, he was unable to work. He was unable to function. He was unable to not only function in work, but function in relationship. It nearly killed his marriage. His wife had to get a restraining order on him because the chemicals that he was ingesting were messing up his brain and his emotions so much that he became dangerous to his own family. What we eat matters. It was killing him physically, it was killing relationship, and it was killing his God-ordained purpose for being on this planet. He was not walking in the plans that God had for him. He was struggling just to stay alive, and he was dying. But the good news is my friend got help. My friend got help, he got treatment. His wife stuck with him. They're married to this day, and he's free. And who the Son sets free is free. And he's free from that poison now. He's free from the effects of that, and he is living for God and enjoying God once again. Can we give God the glory for that? I mean, that's good news. We just prayed into that. We received a word about that this morning about freedom, and it's real. God sets us free from the things that the devil brings into our lives that want to take us out and destroy us. We know John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that to the full. Amen. For real. So everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. What we ingest, somebody's lifting up a water bottle. I'm like, yeah, that's good for you. What we ingest can and it will actually change our chemical makeup, which then affects how we process life, how we see things, how we respond to things. It changes and it invokes emotions in us. What we ingest is going to affect our body, our brains, our processes. It's going to affect it. God created our bodies this way. He created your body to respond to what you put into it. He created your minds to respond to what you put into your mind. He created your heart to respond to what you put into your heart. God created us this way. This is how we're created. And when we put things, junk, into our bodies or into our minds or into our hearts that are not intended for us, there are consequences to that. Be hurtful and harmful. What we eat matters. Some people think that the devil is coming after them every single day. Some people think that demons are like infesting their lives and ruining their lives and messing their lives up. And that may be true because we battle not against flesh and blood, but against those spiritual forces of darkness. Demons are real and they do come after us and they bring hell into our lives. But maybe sometimes it's not a demon that's attacking us. Maybe sometimes it's just the effect of something that we're allowing into our lives or actually putting into our lives. And sometimes maybe it's the effect of something that we're actually ingesting and eating that's causing craziness to happen in our bodies and in our minds. I'm just being real. What we eat matters. It matters. 1 Corinthians also 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? That's an amazing. Every time I read this and think about this passage, I'm always like, whoa. Because that takes it to a whole nother level, doesn't it, church? We think our bodies are our own. The popular thing in the world today is, it's your body. You can do with it what you want. Well, that's not what God says. It's His. We are His. We are His temple. Our bodies, our flesh and blood are not our own. We can't do whatever we want to with this flesh and blood because we have surrendered ourselves fully and completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We are His. We are temples now of the Holy Spirit who is in us, whom you've received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So, when I found out that diet soda wasn't good for me, I had a choice to make. Number one, I could do this. I could defile myself, continue to defile myself with that poison, continue to pollute this temple of the Holy Spirit with that poison. I mean, I'd seen it in action with a friend of mine. I've seen what it's done, and I was, thank praise God, at one time, I used to be. You ever read the New Testament? You know, Paul keeps saying, at one time, I used to. You know, that's the kind of thing we want to hear coming out of our lives, right? Out of our mouths and out of our lives is I used to. At one time, I was addicted to diet soda. I loved it. You know, they put stuff in that diet stuff in other foods too that's addictive. You ever heard of that stuff, MSG? Monosodium glutamate or something like that, right? That's an addictive substance. I love Chinese food, but man, they put that stuff in there so I will love it, right? Gives me headaches now because it's fake. My body doesn't know how to process that. When you get older, by the way, young people, when you get older, you might think like you're bulletproof and you can do whatever you want to your bodies right now, but when you get older like me, every little thing that you eat or drink, it's going to have a significant impact on you. I'm just saying, how many of you older people say amen? Come on, I mean, really. It's like every year I'm going, really? I can't have that anymore? Really? You got to be kidding me. And the Lord's like, you should have never had that. What were you thinking? So I had a choice. I had understanding now of what this chemical was doing to my body, and I could continue to put it into my body, or I could just say no. I'd rather not. Remember that, right? I'd rather not. I wish I could say that I immediately said no, but I didn't. I mean, it was years, even decades, over a decade that I continued to play with this poison, continued to drink this diet soda that I had seen almost kill a friend of mine, and I continued to put it in me because I was addicted. I couldn't say no. I was even a pastor at the time. I just finally said no, fully, completely resolved not to do this just within the last year. I know that face. Whoa, I'm serious. I'm serious. It's a battle, man versus food. Food versus Pastor Eric. It's a real deal. They're going to make a movie about it someday. It took me years of battle in my flesh before I finally gave it up. I saw the hands go up. There's others in this room that are in the same battle. I'm still in the battle. I won that one. I've resolved. I don't go to that poison anymore. I don't do that anymore. But I still battle. So what we eat matters, but let's go deeper. Why we eat matters. Uh-oh. Here we go. Why we eat matters. Life can be hard. Disappointments, hurts, insecurities. It's real. Life is hard, but where do we go? What do we turn to when things are hard? When things aren't working out? When it gets stressful? When it gets dark? What do we turn to? Where do we get our comfort? There's one place that we're going to find comfort, and there's a whole lot of places that we're really not going to find comfort. Do we turn to God or do we seek it from other sources? Sometimes we turn to food to meet what only the Lord can give us. Again, I'm guilty of that. It's Pastor Eric versus food. It's real, okay? I'll turn to food sometimes to find my comfort, and that's the wrong place to find it. It will always disappoint, and it will never satisfy. It says in Psalm 107, verse 9, "For the Lord satisfies the thirsty, and it's the Lord who fills the hungry with good things." It's the Lord. Not my gallon of ice cream and pan of brownies. Only the Lord satisfies. The result of eating to satisfy the flesh, eating to kind of fill those unmet needs, or eating to cover up hurt, isn't God's prescription. I found a couple interesting passages in Proverbs. Proverbs 25, verse 27 says, "It is not good to eat too much honey." Now, let's just look at this first of all. Honey is good. Honey is really, really good. I like honey. It's sweet. It's natural. It's wonderful. But even something good, remember, everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. Well, honey's good, but look at this. It's not good to eat too much honey. Nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. It's not good to eat a whole container of ice cream. I've done it. I've been there. It's not good. And it won't make you feel better. Oh, no, especially not when you're 50 years old. So that last one we looked at, the last one we looked at was the polite version. It's not good to eat too much honey. But now let's look at it where it gets a little more raw. This is also in Proverbs 25, verse 16. It says, "If you eat honey, eat just enough, because too much of it and you will vomit." You'll vomit. That's not a pretty picture. Why do we eat too much? Because sometimes it feels good, right? Feels good to our flesh. It tastes good. And we just want more of it. But too much of a good thing is still too much. Even too much honey is too much. The Bible actually has a lot to say about eating too much. It calls it gluttony. And gluttony is it's about trying again to meet needs that only God can meet and turning to other sources. I mean, some people deal with turning to alcohol or turning to drugs or turning to television and who knows, all kinds of different crazy things that we turn to to try to meet needs that only God can meet. And when we turn to food to meet the need that only God can eat, the Word of God calls that gluttony. Actually calls it a sin. I read a statement here from Christianity.com, and it says that gluttony, like most sins, is a case of a thing of beauty, and eating is a thing of beauty. How many of you can agree with that? Come on now. Mexican food is a thing of beauty. Green chili is a thing of beauty. But gluttony is taking that thing of beauty and it's been spoiled. It's a healthy and normal drive that's been broken. It's broken the bonds and it runs rampant. It's a faithful servant who has assumed the throne and revealed himself a tyrant. So again, why we eat matters. Why we eat matters. There is only one who is our provision. There is only one who's going to bring comfort in our lives. His name is Jesus. And when I turn to other things, when I turn to food for comfort, and I'm being real and transparent with my church here, because I still do that. I don't turn to diet soda anymore for that. But when I turn to food for comfort, I'm going the wrong direction. I'm turning to something that will always disappoint. And you know where it actually takes me? It takes me to a place of guilt and regret when I turn to food and I eat too much honey, as they say, right? It takes me to that place of regret and pain and hurt. Lord, help us turn to Jesus in all things. Jesus declared this. He said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said that he's the bread of life. He who comes to me, Jesus says, will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And then there are real results to what we eat and to why we eat. And again, I've already been opening up front. I'm not an expert in this. I've had the victory now in some things and in the area of diet, soda, and a lot. But I know somebody. I'm married to somebody who is an expert at seeing the results of eating right. Velvet, would you come up here? Velvet has radically changed her diet because of health issues, things that she's been struggling with since 2012, trying different things to get better, but finally realizing maybe it's the diet, and I don't want to steal anything that you want to say. So would you just share with us your experience?
I'd love to share. So, Eric asked me to share my story with all of you guys, and some of you, especially those of you who come to prayer on Wednesdays, have prayed for me a lot, and I appreciate that, and you know a little bit. But generally, I had some debilitating health issues for about the last 7 years, and I've seen some major improvements, and mainly based on changing my diet. So I wanted to encourage you all with my story. So I've been dealing with chronic fatigue and insomnia, frequent pain, memory and cognitive processing issues, and frequent infections. So a picture of what my life looked like before I made this drastic change was I got about 4 hours of sleep every night and would wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and couldn't go back to sleep, but then the day comes and you gotta move on, right? Also, I would need to lay low to gear up for just like 3 hours of activity. So like if I'm leading worship at church, lay low Saturday, get up, lead worship, go home, go to sleep, you know? So I know some of you in the room can relate with that. So that's really hard. Also, I battled chronic infections. Like every 3 weeks, I would get a new infection and have to deal with that. So it was kind of hard to get strong when you're constantly dealing with those things. And I had a hard time focusing and remembering events. I would forget to show up at things, forget to come and speak to the young moms group, and they were very gracious. Hannah's like, are you coming? Like, oh yeah, I'm 10 minutes away, I'll be right there. But all of this really, I mean, going through hard things is no fun, but God has done such a work in my life, teaching me to depend on him and not on my own ability, and it's been really awesome. So don't feel sorry for me. But through all of this, I was still homeschooling our children, which is a full-time job, and also leading several ministries at the church. So I just pushed through. I just, you know, rested when I could and pushed through until it just became really evident that I could not keep doing that to myself. So I had to stop homeschooling our kids and put them, enroll them in a Christian school. So we made that change so that I could focus on my health. And I saw a naturopath and made some changes and saw, you know, a little bit of improvement, but not a lot. Until this January, I got a diagnosis of an autoimmune disorder, which is called Hashimoto's. And it's where you have antibodies that are attacking your thyroid. And of course, your thyroid, I've learned, is really in charge of lots of things and can really mess you up if it's not working right. So I went to the doctor, and guess what his main prescription for me was? Change my diet, which wasn't really that bad to begin with, but he had helped lots of people with this similar condition. And so he put me on a very restrictive diet. Even things that you would think are super healthy, because of, you know, what I was going through, there were things I could not eat. Also, there were things that I didn't normally eat that he said, you have to eat this every day. You know, you have to, you know, so I had to go to the grocery store and find where all these weird things were. Things I wasn't used to buying. I'm like, how do I do that? Things I wasn't used to cooking. Like, how do I cook this stuff? How do I cook with this? How do I find alternatives? And so there was a huge learning curve, and it was really hard in the beginning. I would go out to eat with Eric on our date days, and we would, of course, have Mexican. And I just sit there, and he's chomping on the chips, and he's dipping in the salsa, and I'm like, huh. The first time, I think I was like, could we just put this menu, like, could you scoot those chips away from me and put the menu covered up? This is just horrible. But eventually, it got easier, and it got better, and I was committed because I wanted to live better. I wanted to sleep better. I wanted to think better. So I followed this super restrictive plan for 8 months. And right now, I can just encourage you with some of the results that I've had. All of the many food sensitivities that I had previously are gone. All of those underlying infections are gone. So grateful to God for that. I'm sleeping closer to 7 hours a night, which I'm very thankful for. That makes a big difference. My energy levels are improving, and I'm able to be more engaged, like with my family. I don't have to go to sleep at 8:30 at night when they're just getting ramped up, right? I can stay up with them. We went to Israel, and I was able to go along with the group, and we had long days, and we walked and walked, and it was hot. And by God's grace, I was able to be sustained through that. And the frequency of pain in my back and neck has diminished tremendously. And I used to have pain in my knee almost all the time, and it's totally gone. So that's really awesome. And a funny thing that I had recently was my vision was really getting blurry. So I went to see my eye doctor, and he tested me, and he said, your prescription's too high. Your vision has improved. Now, I had heard this could happen, but I wasn't thinking about that. And as my doctor said, as we eat differently and feed our cells, you know, our cells regenerate. So, like, I have a new body because my cells, over 8 months, almost every cell in your body can rejuvenate and regenerate. So I have a new body because I have, you know, followed this plan. And, yes, I was kind of forced into it, and what I had to do was super drastic. But I just want to encourage you, it matters. It matters what you eat, and you can have a new body. And, you know, I'm still praying for more wholeness. I, you know, still need to go to different doctors. But I thank God for leading me in this path of health. And I just pray, my encouragement to you is just listen to the Holy Spirit. Seek the Lord on what He's leading you into. And may you walk in life and wholeness. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, I am thrilled for the healing that Velvet is experiencing. It's awesome. I'm just saying, it's awesome. Let's get back to Daniel. Remember this young man and his friends, they resolved not to defile themselves with the king's food. Now, we understand that some of the reasons may be because it was sacrificed to idols, but nonetheless, they had a personal conviction of what they could and could not eat, what they should and should not eat. Even knowing that everything is permissible, they still had that conviction, and they resolved not to cross certain lines. And how did this turn out for these young men? Verse 15 of chapter 1, we read this last week. At the end of the 10 days of eating the way they felt convicted to eat, It says that they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine. I still don't like that passage, right? Anyway. And they gave them drink, and they gave them vegetables instead. Verse 17, to those four young men, check this out. God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. There were real results to resolving themselves to listen to God and to eat and not eat what God said was permissible and not beneficial. They listened to God and they went with what God was convicting them to do and not to do. Now I want to say this. God created us to enjoy food. Every good and perfect gift comes down to Him. And He made most of the stuff, hopefully all the stuff that we eat. We're to enjoy it. And our handling of food isn't just a physical act. It's also a spiritual act. And I go back to this because why are we eating? Are we eating to fill a need and to self-medicate and to bring comfort in our lives? Are we eating just to feed the flesh? Or are we eating to fuel this temple, this body that God has given us? And in the process, enjoy that eating. But why are we eating? And what are we eating? Are we convicted in any way as we're seeking the Lord for our lives, for everything? If we're asking God to lead us and guide us in life and in godliness, and if He's given us all we need for life and godliness, as Peter says, then are we listening to Him? And when He prompts us and He says, whoa, step back. Don't go there. Don't go here. Don't eat that. Yes, eat that. Are we listening to Him on every matter? Are we realizing that God is speaking to us about every step that we take and every move that we make? That doesn't mean that we have to freeze up and we can't just, you know, go to work in the morning. Well, I couldn't show up for work. God didn't audibly tell me to take the next step or to get in the car, so I'm just going to watch TV today. No, I don't think that'd be the Lord. But God is speaking to us, and He's convicting us, and we need to be willing to allow Him to lead in every area of our lives. Now look, this isn't, and I wrestled with the Lord, and He won, and it's not necessarily an easy message to bring to a church, because people can take a message like this, and they can go all over to wrong places. Because here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to judge one another in any way. Because everything's permissible unless the Lord says, no, don't go there. Then for you, it's not permissible. And it's not what you should do. Remember the sheet that came down? You know, and it showed, hey, all of this stuff, it's all good. It's all good. It's all permissible. But what is God saying to you? This isn't to try to make an argument and to create some kind of a chat about, hey, here's a great diet. Try this, try this. Everybody should be doing it the way I'm doing it. Velvet Purse purposefully didn't share what the doctor told her to do because it was for her. For her. As she was seeking the Lord for healing, and the Lord led her into healing in this way. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. This isn't about arguing about, well, you should be a vegetarian or a vegan or, hey, everyone should eat meat. It's not about anything. This is about listening to the lead of the Holy Spirit, for we are His temple. We are His dwelling place, and we are stewards of this flesh and blood that He's given us, and we want to honor Him and glorify Him and be used by Him to the max. And so we submit our entire lives, our flesh, our blood, our minds, our spirit, our hearts, our relationships, everything to the Lordship of Christ Jesus. And when we do, look out, because He brings life, and that to the full. In every way, He brings it. He's good at what He does. Church, let's stand up. I want to close with a passage from Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Paul says this. He says, accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, it's to God we stand or fall. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you lead us and guide us into truth, that you challenge our way of thinking, our way of living, even our way of eating. God, that you are speaking to us and you care about us, that you created these bodies for us to flourish and to be your hands and feet and to be strong people of God, to bring your kingdom. You created these bodies to actually dwell in, to be your temple. And so, Lord, even now, God, I just even personally say, I give it to you. I submit my body to you. I submit my eating to you, my hopes, my fears, my dreams. I turn to you for comfort. I look to you to resolve the questions and concerns. I look to you to calm my insecurities. I choose today and resolve today once again to not look to another, but to look fully to you, Jesus, because you have all I need. You are all I need. I give it all to you. God, I thank you that in this battle of man versus food, that there's victory in you, Christ Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. Victory in you. Thank you for the victory. Can we all say amen?